Blog Talk Radio.
Show with Jackie Wayans. Inspiration through word and song for you.
And welcome, indeed, inspiration for you. I am excited for this show because we are in the month of May, and that means that the first day of summer is coming really soon, and a lot of us are thinking about what we want to do for summer and brighter days, and we realize that we are not as fit as we need to be, not only in our appearance, but in our stamina, in our actual health. And for us to be able to do those things with the kids and go the places that we want to go with our loved ones, we need to be physically able to do that. And we have a wonderful guest today who's going to tie it all together for us, not just from the physical realm, but also the spiritual realm. And I love it. Dr. Melody is a fitness guru. She is an author. She is founder of Fit Plus Faith. And I'm so thankful to have her here to share with us today. Dr. Melody, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here and honored to be on your show today.
Well, I'm glad we're going to have a good time, I can tell. I'm going to get right into it, actually. I am just astounded at the fact that you became a physical therapist at the age of 16. And so I want the backstory to that, okay? So what makes a 16-year-old decide that that's what they want to do? What was it about your life that helped you to hone in at such a young age to realize that you wanted to go in that direction?
Yes, absolutely. So I didn't, just to clarify, I didn't become a physical therapist until 2008, but the road began when I was 16, which is unusual for a lot of people when they're mid-teenagers to really know what direction that they want to go. And it's really interesting. So I remember always being fascinated by the body and that our bodies are so amazing and that their science is learning and discovering new things all the time. And I remember being in anatomy class in high school, and I just was enthralled with this. I was like, I want to learn everything there is about the body because I think it's amazing. Like, what God has done is so incredible, and there's so many mysteries still that science can't explain, but God has it perfectly designed. And I remember going on an actual field trip to a physical therapy school in Los Angeles, and we were going through their cadaver lab. Actually, this might creep some people out, but we were going through their cadaver lab where they were doing all the dissections and they were learning, and I was like, I have got to do this. And so I was like, you know, what career could I have where I could do more about this? I could learn more about this. I could be involved with the body in this way. So I started kind of thinking, what's out there? I knew that I didn't want to be a physician or a surgeon because I knew that I didn't want to deal with pharmaceuticals and medications, and I knew that their life is actually quite stressful and they don't really get very much one-on-one time with their patients. And then I knew that I didn't want to be a nurse because I didn't want to deal with needles and all the things they do. So I was like, what career could it be? And I decided to go to set my sights on becoming a physical therapist and actually going to the highest level in the education that I could. And so I, over the years that transpired, that was my direction all through college, through my undergraduate, and then I went directly into the doctorate program and got a master's on the side as well. And so now in 2008, I became a doctor of physical therapy. So that's kind of the road. It was an 8-year road.
Wow. So you have to be very, very committed in order to take such a long road. I have a son who's a sophomore right now, and he knows he's a business major, but he's kind of trying to figure out what in business is he going to hone into, because he's starting to realize the time dedication that it takes for some of the specialties. He's like, do I really want to spend 8 years, you know, on this?
Right. So I know.
Action. It shows the passion that you had for it because you
yes.
made that commitment.
Yes.
Now, you describe yourself as being someone who is kind of all or nothing, right? Was that always a
yes.
part of your personality? Is that one of the things that helped you to commit to doing this and going all the way?
Absolutely. You're so right. I think when I look back at my life in general, just even through growing up and the things that I was involved in, absolutely. I grew up with this work ethic given to me and reinforced by my family and my mother that if you're going to do something, you're going to give it everything you can and you're going to make it the best that it can be. So there's no, you know, half-hearted things. It's like if you're deciding to do something, you need to make it the best that it is. Otherwise, it's not worth doing. And even if it ends up not being perfect, but you know that you gave it your best effort, you can go to sleep every night knowing that you did everything in your power to be the most ethical, have the most integrity, and know that you did your best. And so, yeah, that's always been the way that it is. And sometimes people joke when I'm putting together an event or I used to be the missionary president at my church, actually. And we would throw these events, and I would have these wild ideas of these things that I wanted to do. And I would go 100% all out in creating this event and in designing whatever it was that we were going to be doing that night. And it didn't matter if there was only going to be 10 people attending or if there was going to be 200. Mm-hmm. It was going to be the same no matter what, because that's just a reflection of who we are as people. So absolutely,
awesome.
All or nothing.
I love that. I love that energy. So you mentioned being a part of missionary work. You clearly have a God focus. When did that start for you? Was it something you were raised with in your family? When did it become very personal for you in terms of your walk, your faith walk with God?
Sure. I was raised in a Christian home. Our family has really strong ties to the Nazarene denomination. So I grew up Nazarene. And I think it was in high school when I had been involved in church my whole life that I could remember to that point. But I believe it was in high school where I said, you know, I now kind of am at the age where I can see how I've been raised. I can see how other people are living and what feels good to me, what feels right to me. And so then that's when I decided that I wanted to be more vocal and really kind of put my foot down and say, this is who I am, and this is what I believe, and this is how I choose to live. And when I was at 16 is when I was looking at future colleges and everything, because that would have been coming up in just a few years. So I went to the Point Loma Nazarene University in San Diego, and so then that was a small private Christian university, and I loved that. That was like I was at a place where now everyone around me was having these same beliefs and living in the same way, and it just felt so wonderful. I was so privileged to be able to go there, and that was my first introduction to living in San Diego. And so that's where I live now, and I knew from college, oh man, I've got to get back here. This is where I want to be. And that's the road that I took. And to me, that it feels wonderful. It feels amazing. It feels like you have a community of people all over the world, no matter where they are, no matter where you are, because you're bound together by your faith. You have this common denominator, and it's such a beautiful thing.
And if you're listening right now and you're thinking, this sounds wonderful, how do I become a part of that family, because it really is a family, it's really simple. Romans 10:9-10 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And that's where the relationship with him starts. And the moment that happens, you're part of the family of God. So every believer on the planet becomes your brother, your sister. And despite, you know, where we live, what race, none of those things supersede the love of God that lives within us. So it's really very awesome. And I've not been to San Diego yet, but I surely have that on my radar, a place to visit. One of the things you also tied into early on was realizing that you had God-given talents, and that's really very helpful in directing our path. And you talk about realizing your gift of communication and and love, and it's particularly empathy, because that's not a word people use a lot. I use it, but people don't often talk about being empathetic. How did you begin to tune into these gifts? How did you realize that they were there?
Well, I would say that was one of the reasons why I also chose to go down the path of becoming a physical therapist, because I don't remember at what point it was when I had done some sort of, you know, looking into your spiritual gifts and trying to figure out what those were. I feel that that was something that I had done throughout youth group as I was growing up. And so then you begin to realize, you know, we're all different, but we're all different in wonderful ways. And it's okay that we don't have the same gifts as the person next to us, because that's the beauty of the diversity and the creation of God. I think that's what's so amazing. Things that someone else is completely passionate about. So say in the financial realm or in the mathematics, I mean, they love that and they see these things differently and they really can connect with that. I have no part of that whatsoever, but I know the things that I'm good at are relating to people, encouraging people, really making everybody feel special and unique. And so as I began to realize that that's just what I'm naturally good at, what can I do in the career realm as well, besides just being who I am as a person, to, you know, being my truest self to in everything I do to everyone I meet? But what can I do where I can really tap into helping other people along whatever journey or path that they're going? And that's why I was like, physical therapy is perfect for me, because I get to help someone with this incredible knowledge that I have going through school. And now I get to actually turn it around and physically make that happen for this other person in rehabilitating their body or whatever it is that they're going through. And then it's like, well, if I can help people with their body, that's wonderful. But we can't deny that there's another part of our lives and a part of our being that God has created is the spiritual as well. And so when I would go through physical therapy with people, I felt like sometimes I was becoming a counselor to them, you know. They're telling me their other problems, their other things. Maybe they have some mental limitations that are stopping them physically. All these other areas that I feel have to be addressed. And so then I was, how do I combine all those things together? Because we can't deny, whether you are a Christian or not, we can't deny that our bodies are made to have a connection to the spiritual world as well, not just the physical world. And so so that the empathy that I just so naturally have for other people, then you want to figure out how you can grow upon that and what can you do to utilize that to help other people.
When we come back, we're going to get into it a little bit more with Melody, Dr. Melody, to really understand her process to getting to where she is today, and her don't give up, her fight to make sure that she can do what she's passionate about and also get us to where we need to be in our fitness.
When fear feels bigger than my faith, struggles steal my breath away. When my back's pressed up against the wall, with the weight of my worries stacked up tall, you're strong enough to hold it all. I will cast my cares on you. You're the anchor of my hope, the only one who's in control. I will cast my what I would have chosen, but you see the
cares on you. Cast my cares, I will. Cast my cares, I will. Cast my cares on you. Cast my cares, I will. Cast my cares, I will. Cast my cares.
Don't Give Up Radio Show with Jackie Wayans. Inspiration through word and song for you.
And I'm back. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. We are listening to and talking with Dr. Melody, who is the founder of Fit Plus Faith. And I want to talk to you a little bit, Dr. Melody, about the process of getting there, even before we talk about what exactly you do, because the process of something is so important. A lot of times we have a dream, we have an aspiration, but there's always challenges when you're trying to do something good or great. And you could have definitely, you know, worked for some big organization, or you could have, you know, worked for a sports team or something like that, but you decided on becoming an entrepreneur and working for yourself. Talk to us about why you decided to do that, and also if you can also talk to us about the cost that it takes to step out on your own and follow that dream.
Absolutely. So I think when I first became a physical therapist, when I was going through school, you're learning about, all right, what are all the different avenues that I'm going to be able to take? Where will I be able to work? What is going to be available to me in the marketplace? And there is a niche in physical therapy that is private practice. So these are people that decide they want to go out on their own, create their own clinic, treat their patients their own way, and not work for a big hospital or a nursing home or in a sports clinic or things like that. And there was always something inside of me that said, that could be really fun. You should maybe try that. You know, I think because I have a lot of great ideas, and I'm very creative, and I think out of the box a lot, and maybe I just like challenges. I don't know what it is, but I always had this idea of, I think I might want to one day open my own clinic. Let's just see what happens. So I go through school, I graduate, I get my first job at a really big, well-known, well-respected hospital, and it's incredible. But always in the back of my mind, I'm like, when am I going to branch out on my own? And I knew that I wanted to eventually move back down to San Diego because I had finished my schooling and was working up in the LA area. And so I was waiting for that opportunity and wondering how that was going to shake out. And I came down to interview for a different company in San Diego. I was like, I'm just going to move there and then we'll go from there. My husband was on board with me. And I came down to interview with this other company, and I ran across an advertisement on Craigslist, no less. You won't even believe it, on Craigslist. And it said, looking for a physical therapist to open their own practice inside of a wellness center. That was, like, literally the headline. And I'm like, are you kidding me? This is exactly what I've been looking for and waiting for. And so wow. I met with the owner. I know, it was incredible. I met with the owner. While I was on this trip to interview with this other company, I arranged a separate meeting with him. I had already been designing my business plan all, you know, in the past, kind of just getting everything ready. I wanted to be able that when the opportunity presented itself, I wanted to be able to jump on board. So I had my business plan already. I met with this man. It was the perfect location, the perfect building, everything that I wanted to get started. I was like, this is incredible. I hope that he chooses me because I know he was interviewing other people for this as well. But I think I blew it out of the park when I came in and I already had my business plan and I'm like, I'm ready to go. This is, you know, this is going to be perfect. And so then he accepted me to be the one to begin opening their own clinic. And so then my husband and I had already been saving money. We saved about $15,000 on our own, but I knew I needed a loan as well. And so when I had done all my business projections and all the equipment and everything I would need to get started, it was around $50,000. So we had 15 of our own, and then I got a business loan for $35,000. And then we got accepted for the loan, and off we went. And so that's how things got started, but I've definitely made a lot of twists and turns along the way as I just continue to refine who I am and how best can God use me and, you know, and what I do, am I fully fulfilled? And if not, what changes do I need to make? I think some of the most important things for business owners and entrepreneurs, you have to have the ability of adapting and changing. And if you don't, that's where the problems are going to arise because you're going to be so rigid that you won't have any flexibility where there needs to be some. And so I have fully embraced that flexibility, and I am very thankful and grateful that my husband is on board with me every time I decide to go a new direction or try something new. He's just very supportive, so that's been wonderful. But, yeah, that's awesome. How things got started with money and a business loan and a business plan.
Well, that's, the business plan is key. It definitely is. Sometimes, you know, we try to launch ahead and go before the business plan, but it's so awesome that you have that already prepared and ready to go. And I think it did give you that extra favor, that extra edge when dealing with that individual. And, you know, you talked about the financial cost. Clearly, there's also a practical cost to making the decision that you did because, you know, it's one thing to have the savings, and there's another thing to talk about the dedication and the commitment that it takes to sacrifice maybe not going out to dinners or not taking certain vacations or all those things that you have to really think about your goal, your end game, and what you're willing to sacrifice to get there.
Absolutely, yes. I believe when I think back about the financials of my first year in business, I believe when all was said and done, all the money that came in, all the money that went out for bills and for rent and for everything else that you need to pay for, I think that first year I might have made $4,000 total. But it's like, how is that possible when I'm working so much? But there is just a lot that goes on that you don't realize how much needs to be made in order for you to have a profit. So your passion really needs to be there. Otherwise, you're not going to weather those first few years where there's not a lot of personal money coming in until you're able to build and grow and build your reputation and fine-tune your expenses. I mean, it is a lot of trial and error in the very beginning. And so, yes, it was 2012 when I first opened that clinic, and since then I've changed a lot of different directions. I now do home visits, and so I've actually moved away from a formal office altogether, which that for me is not only really fulfilling to go into people's homes and to really impact them in that very special way, but it dramatically, of course, lowered the overhead costs that I have. And so now I'm able to actually bring home some money to contribute to our family much more than I was in the beginning. But you've got to be aware that in the beginning, when you're getting started, there is a lot of effort going out and not always a lot of money coming in the beginning, which is fine. But you've got to have the strong passion to carry you through. Otherwise, you won't last.
Oh, I absolutely understand. I left my day job in the fall of last year to do the radio show and build the brand full time. So it's a sacrifice. You don't do that just because the money is sitting there, you know, just for you to roll it.
It's true.
But that ties back into faith, right? So, you know, one of the things you talk about doing is bridging the knowledge of health and wellness with Christian faith. And I think that's so crucial because if you listen to most of the prayer meetings and the list of prayers, it's mainly people who will have health issues, right? And if you can imagine even what our prayer services were like if we didn't have the abundance of health issues, we could spend more time even focusing on other issues. And so talk to us about how you bridge that gap. What are some of the tools that you implement in order to build put things together?
Absolutely, yes. So in my search for how can I best take the knowledge that I have and begin to find easy ways to help other people put things into practice for their own health, for their bodies, so that exactly what you're saying, so that we don't have some of these long-term preventable health issues that we might not have had if we would have taken care of ourselves 10, 20, 30 years prior. And I think when I work in the physical therapy field, of course I'm helping people, you know, after they've had a surgery or, you know, something like that. But a lot of the things that are weighing people down and that's making their life difficult is these long-term diseases that have now fully affected their lives and their quality of life. And so when I see this every day thinking, oh my goodness, if you would have just maybe had more knowledge or education about what you were doing to your body or about proper eating and why it's so important to be active all through your life, no matter what age you are, I would see all these things and I'm like, I have got to help other people, but I felt so strongly in my faith that I couldn't be missing that part of it. So it's like, what can I do? How can I pull those two things together? Let me just create something completely new, completely my own, that I now feel I am doing my best to bring together my passions of helping people and the practical knowledge and education that I have with my passion of being a Christian and not wanting to damper that down, or wanting to really be able to put that as the centerpiece and the focus for building a community of other women that feel the same way, so we don't have to be afraid to talk about our faith or to mention God when we're talking about different issues in life or to ask for prayer or to share praises with each other, whatever that is. I was like, I have to create something that has both of these two things together because that just feels fully right to me and not something that I would want to be a part of. So I created Fit Plus Faith. It's been probably a year now since I actually got going. I just started it initially as my own personal blog of giving education about health and about easy nutrition and about easy recipes and about just the easiest ways that you can begin making changes in your life, but also the practical things of dealing with different issues in life and how our faith comes to play in those things. So I started it as a personal blog just to fulfill my own desire to need to get some of this information out there and hopefully find other like-minded people that would be interested in this. And so over the past year, it's evolved to where I now have an online community that's growing, and it is just so beautiful to see these people actively wanting to make changes in their health and me being able to say, hey, try this, or hey, here's this recipe, or let's go, you know, get a little bit active and do this. And they're wanting to have a safe community where they can say, hey, maybe I didn't do, you know, super great in this area, but I'm really proud that I began to make this change. Or, hey, I'm starting to increase my awareness of making sure I get enough water every day, or just these little things. And then being fully open just to share about praises and prayer requests and really be helping each other one-on-one in this really safe online community. And so that's what I have online at Fit Plus Faith on Facebook. But my private community, where our engagement and interaction with each other is just on a whole nother level. It's so beautiful and it's growing and expanding. And that's on my free private group. And that's called Worthy to Be Me. Mm-hmm.
Say it again.
Oh, that one, my private group is called Worthy to Be Me, and that's found on Facebook as well.
Okay, great. We're actually going to come back to that and get a little bit more in depth in terms of some of the things that you actually work with your clients on. But one of the key things you just said, you said two very powerful things to me, and one is the fact that a lot of the things that we're dealing with is absolutely preventable. When you're talking about high blood pressure or diabetes or most weight issues, not all, you know, a lot of these things are preventable. They're based on our diet, our stress levels, you know, various things that we can actually make adjustments to. But I'm going to tie that into the second thing you said about making little adjustments, little changes, because I'm one of those people who can think I have to do the whole kit and caboodle. And one of the things I just realized is that water, that one thing, is absolutely essential to my functionality. So if I just make sure that I get that proper amount of water in every day, it solves a lot of other problems. You know, being able to sleep better, being hydrated, being more alert. I used to have like foggy brain. I didn't realize that my foggy brain was because of being dehydrated, not getting enough water. So little things can make a big difference.
Absolutely.
I love that. Well, it seems like your approach then is one that is very holistic.
It's just being able to find and implement little by little the things that are going to lead you towards a better life in general, in your health, in how you feel. When we start making some of these small changes in what we eat and what we drink, taking away some of the bad things, or I shouldn't say bad, but some of the more unhealthy things, and replacing them with the more whole things, which would be just water. Water can, just like you said, it can do wonders, but we don't get enough. We're always drinking coffee or tea, or having people have cocktails and alcohol and different things that, or sodas, heaven forbid. And then it's like we don't even realize that all that liquid, that's just not water, you know? And so we might think we're drinking all day, but if it's not just plain, wonderful water, that our bodies are 70% made up of water anyway, God designed us made out of water, we need to drink more. And those little changes can not only help with weight loss, but they can begin leveling out all of our blood, glucose, and insulin levels, and giving you more energy internally, because we're not constantly bombarding our body with these other things like caffeine and sugar that is making our body having a harder time just to operate on a daily basis. So it's these little things that really make a big difference if you implement them over a longer period of time.
You know, Braxton Cosby is a physical fitness instructor who's also located out in Georgia, and he definitely was on the show, I think, a year ago, and he was talking about soda. If you could just get rid of that unnecessary sugar, that one little thing could do so much for your health. And so you guys are on the same page with that. I love it. When we come back, we're going to talk more in depth about your strategies and your tips and how we can actually slim down for summer. So we look forward to hearing a little bit more with Dr. Melody when we return.
I'm living on a fairy trail, torn between the fiction and what is real. Oh, I hear you whisper to me to give you all control. Some days it's harder for me just to let it go. I just need to step out and step into your flow. No matter what the pressure, you will always be the answer. Only you know how to steady me. Ready, my heart for everything that's coming my way. Help me trust that you're ahead of me, going before my feet with every step I take. Only you can come restore me, and only you can restore me when I'm gone. You're steady me, only you can steady me. The only one I need to be listening to is you. So I'ma take your hand and I'ma let you lead me through. No matter what the pressure, you will always be the answer. Only you know how to take.
to the death of me. Even if my life gets bad enough, Stephanie, I just put this in your hands and it's finished though. And you never let me down, so I know we winning. Oh, only you can keep me calm, only you can see me through, only you can set me free. Cause only you know how to steady me.
Ready my heart for everything that's coming out. Help me trust that you're ahead of me. Going before my feet with every step I take.
Show with Jackie Wayans. Inspiration through word and song for you.
I love it. We're back with Dr. Melody, and she is here, and she's about to help us get ignited about being physically fit as a lifestyle. But I know many of you want a little extra motivation, and you're thinking about summer and your bathing suits and going hiking and having fun with the kids and your loved ones. And so we need to be physically fit in order to do those things. And one of the things that's special about Dr. Melody is the fact that she has combined fitness and faith together. And I'm curious to hear your strategy in doing that. I know it's important for you to bring your light to your clients as you're in contact with them. But what are some of the strategies that you implement to help them turn their eyes back to God so that as they're on the physical quest, they're connected to the spiritual?
Absolutely, yeah, and that really is key. One of the biggest things that we start with when you're really wanting to make some changes in your life, you're wanting to feel better about your body, but you know that you also want to do your best to be serving God and to be fulfilling the purposes that He has also called you for, one of the big things that I recommend people do is to really turn back to their ultimate why. Why am I doing this? Why am I wanting to create a change? Why and how do I think that my life is going to be more fulfilled and better? And how will I be able to then serve other people and those around me because I'm taking care of myself better? How will I then be able to help other people in fulfilling my ultimate purpose that I think God has given me? And so it's really helping people connect to what we call the ultimate why. And so as you begin to tap into that and you think, I want to do this because, and you literally start listing all these reasons, I want to feel better, I want to be able to be with my family more actively, I want to be able to participate in church activities more, I want to be able to do more volunteering, whatever that is, really tapping into those things and seeing this huge list that you can write that then makes you get more motivated internally because your ultimate goal is to do all of those things and be fully active and participating and present in those things. And that's only going to happen if you really just sit down, lay them all out, and rather than just saying, I want to feel a little bit better, I want to, you know, making it too generic. We really need to get very specific as to what has God called us to do and can we serve that purpose to the best of our abilities in our current state. And maybe you can, but maybe you wish you had more energy to do it. Maybe you wish that your joints hurt you less so that you could be up and walking and available and participating more. So in the end, our physical health is not only are we taking on the responsibility to treat our bodies as the temple of the Holy Spirit as Christians, but we will be able to serve our purposes, be active in our church, be active in our families and serving the purposes that God has for each of us individually. We can do that better if we're taking care of the one physical body that we have to actually make that happen. So to me, I just feel so strongly about those two things coming together to make you feel better and know that you're caring for the one body that God has entrusted to you. Are you caring for it to the best of your ability? And if so, you're going to be able to perform and fulfill those callings that God has given you better. And so to me, they go beautifully hand in hand.
Well, you know, it's interesting. As you're speaking, we think of all these to-do things as areas of service for the Lord, but we don't think about taking care of our physical body as being service. You know, this
right.
is the vessel that He's given us, and He's asked us to be a good steward of it so that we can be useful for Him. And so the first duty really is to the physical body that we're in and the spiritual body that is housed in it, to make sure that it's protected and to do due diligence to take care of it. I think that's a wonderful revelation, if no one's ever looked at it like that before. But I think it's hard to look at it that way, because we live in a society that's constantly bombarding the concept of what a true body image should be. So how do you work with people who have had, you know, just a poor history with body image, and getting them to now refocus and see themselves as a creation of God?
You're absolutely correct when it comes to how society, the pressures that society tells us we need to look a certain way and be a certain size. And that really is challenging. And I think that already sets a lot of people up for failure, because they're like, I can't attain that image. Therefore, why am I even going to try? And so then they don't take health into much consideration at all, until it becomes to the problem where the doctors are now saying, you've got X, Y, and Z problems. You need to take these medications. And then you know for yourself, you're not feeling good. So you're right. You know, society plays a big part in us feeling defeated before we even get started. But one of the wonderful things is, when we look at it a different way and we say, you know, God has created this body, and I, as my outpouring to showing my love and respect for God, I want to take care of it better. I want to take care of it so that it feels as good as it can, and then we can then serve God better. And so sometimes changing the focus into not attempting to attain a certain size or look a certain way, but rather, how do you feel in the body that you have? How does your body feel? Does it feel vibrant? Does it feel alive? Does it feel like it has energy? Does it feel like it can do the physical things that you want to do? And if not, that's the first goal to attain. And so beginning to make some small changes in what you're eating and what you're not eating, number one, that can be huge. You can slowly add on some exercise things down the road, but it really starts with the food that you're putting into the body, that's really going to begin to make the changes from the inside out into how the body feels. So if we go more for, do we feel vibrant and healthy? And if not, let's start working towards that, rather than, I need to do all these things because someone said I have to do them, because I have to get to a certain size, even though that's not even, I don't even think that that's possible, and I don't even really want to, but now I'm going to feel bad about myself if I can't achieve that. We want to take that out altogether and just say, how do we feel in our current body, and do we feel the best that we can? And if not, we start making those small changes just to focus on that first.
That's exactly how it should be. That focus is in the right place, and it's doable. It's bite-sized, and it's something that you can work on and not feel overwhelmed. So I'm excited by what you're saying. Do you have one or two success stories that you could possibly share with us in terms of how someone was able to, you know, break past a limiting belief regarding their body image or their health, and now they're living a fuller life because of these simple changes that they've been able to make in their nutrition and in their outlook?
Absolutely, absolutely. One of my most exciting success stories came when I was first starting getting going into health coaching. And there was a man that I met through a different connection, and he heard that I was doing health coaching and helping people get to a more healthier lifestyle. And so I worked with him, and he was able to lose 100 pounds. And gosh, that's been at least 1 or 2 years now. I'd have to look back at the calendar that he's maintained that. But for him, it was just that he got to the point where he said, I do not want to weigh this number on the scale anymore. I'm tired of it. I want to start making different changes. And so So just the simple things, I mean, seriously, starting to go to Subway every day instead of McDonald's, like these silly little things, they really do add up. And
right.
So he had a phenomenal transformation and was so instrumental in inspiring so many other people, but that's probably one of the most incredible ones, to allow him to be more active in the volunteer organizations that he's a part of and to be a better example for his family and his grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really wonderful. Some of the other cool things that I hear right in the beginning is beginning to make some of these changes sustained even for a week or two, even within the first week of working with people and guiding them on the small changes that they could start to make. I get reports of, oh, my goodness, my knees feel so much better. I can go up and down stairs without having pain in my
mm-hmm.
knees. They haven't dropped a ton of pounds yet. They've just gotten started. But it's just beginning
right.
to change what they're eating little by little and what they're drinking. And now the inflammation goes down in the body. They can
yeah.
feel like they can get around better. These changes can happen so quickly. If you have your goal set on, I'm not going to be crazy extreme, I'm not going to do something that I can't sustain, I'm going to do some things that are very easy to do, like taking away the sodas and sugars and starting to drink more water. Like literally these small changes, knees start feeling better, joints start feeling better, and just having more energy to where the cravings start to go away. Like hearing people say, oh my gosh, I'm not craving chocolate all the time anymore, or I'm not grabbing for that bag of salty potato chips, because they have now taught their body in a very short period of time to regulate those blood levels of their insulin and glucose, which takes away the cravings. So if we can help our body take away the cravings, that's one less battle that we feel we have to fight every day of trying to, you know, force ourselves to not go grab that cookie. It can actually be so much easier than that internally and naturally. And those are just the easy changes that the body makes just by starting to regulate our sugar intake. So it's really exciting.
I think it would also be very exciting for any 40-plus, 50-plus, 60-plus people who are listening,
yep.
because we can get to a place where we think, oh, that ship has passed. You know, I can't rewind the clock. My body is
right.
what it is. I'm dealing with what
True.
I'm dealing with. But, you know, something as simple as what you said, a few years back, I had some rheumatoid markers. They were just markers. It wasn't that
okay.
I was diagnosed with it. But I know that going upstairs was starting to feel uncomfortable for me. Joints
mm.
movement was starting to be a little stiff. And just making the simple changes. And now when I run upstairs at a normal pace without feeling that discomfort,
mm.
I am so thankful. You're never really thankful
yes.
until you realize what it feels like when it's properly. And so
mm-hmm.
to understand, if you're listening and you're in those senior, earlier, upper years, that you can still make these changes. Your body is so adaptable. It wants to function in the way that God designed it to function. Our time is going so quickly. I want you, I noticed you have these great download, a free downloadable that people can access from you to slim down and to get ready for the summer, as well as a calendar to help you get started with a physical fitness routine. I love your website. It's very fresh looking. It you know, kind of inspires to have a healthier, you know, just more relaxed lifestyle. I love the way it looks. Can you tell us again those websites and how to connect with you?
Absolutely. Thank you so much. So my main website that you're going to have lots of information for healthy recipes and things about improving and connecting with your faith more. This is my main blog called fitplusfaith.com. So it's just spelled right out. And on there, you'll start to look through a lot of the resources that I have for you. And one of the main things, if you want, is there's a free download on the homepage, and it's the 10 easy ways to increase your fitness and your faith. And so that's a great download with some really easy practical tips to start incorporating those little things into your daily life. So you'll love that. And then the fitness calendar, I designed this to make this as simple and easy as possible. If you feel like you're not doing anything at all regarding exercise and fitness because it's just too, the thought of it is even overwhelming, and you think that it needs to be, you know, this big, huge unattainable, oh, it's going to take so much time and effort and I can't do it right, then I made this fitness calendar that just gives you one exercise per day, and you just do that exercise for as many repetitions until that muscle group is tired, and that's it for the day. So if you were beginning to just get started and you want to feel that you're moving your body and helping just one area at a time so it's not overwhelming, then get that free fitness calendar at freefitnesscalendar.com. And you'll be able to download that there. And so that's a great place to start if you're overwhelmed and you're not currently doing anything. Then you can just do one exercise a day, and that will really begin to make those little changes, plus all the other resources and yummy recipes and tips on the blog. And, of course, the Facebook page is where all the fun stuff is going on as well.
Great. And give us the name of the Facebook page again.
The private Facebook group, if you want to be a part of this community of Christian women, is called Worthy to Be Me. And so you can just type that in Facebook, and you'll find our group, and you can join us there.
Awesome. And your open page, your public page?
The public page is just Fit Plus Faith on Facebook. Mm-hmm.
Got it. Well, I got to tell you, I already downloaded my calendar. I love the idea of just hitting one simple thing and mastering that. I think that's awesome. So I will definitely let you know how it's going. Thank you so much for not only tuning in very early on to what you wanted to do in life, but really persevering to going ahead and doing it in the way that God has asked you to do it. And I know that this will continue to be a blessing to many other people. So thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much, Jackie. It's been an absolute pleasure. I really appreciate it.
Wonderful. So, my listeners, you've got it. We have the tools and the resources now to start to implement. Download those tips that's going to hit you spiritually and practically, and get that calendar and tune into the website and on social media. It's simple, it's easy, it's supportive, and let's get fit and healthy, because the Spirit of God lives and dwells within us, and our bodies is a home for the Holy Spirit. And so we want to make sure that we're making the best temple possible, available for Him to be able to work in and through us. Until next week, I want you to continue to be your own best hero, because the greatest hero of all said that you were worth it when He gave His life for you.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come.
Show.